All right, hello and welcome into the Killer Frogs bullpen. We're back with our 17th episode. Joined it once again by Carson and Nate. How are you guys?
Doing well, how about you?
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? TCU got a series win this weekend, and we're gonna talk about it.
Heck yeah.
Big weekend series win over Texas Tech this weekend at home. Getting back on track. We said it was kind of a do or die weekend for the Frogs, and they got back in the win column. Wasn't pretty at times, but hey, a win, series win is a series win. Nate, walk me through your thoughts on the weekend as a whole.
It was good to see the frogs at least do things to a decent matter. We looked really composed on our pitching, even though on Friday we gave up 7 runs. A lot of those were just desperation shots, and we just kind of let things get out of hand a little bit. For the most part, it looked good. Totally threw 11 strikeouts, which was nice. Saturday was probably my favorite game. I feel like we took care of business and did it well. And then Sunday was a nail biter, but we got it done. I know Carson and I were on the edge of the seat.
Yeah, Carson, what about you? Weekend thoughts?
Yeah, that's a quality series win if I've ever seen it, especially for a team that has been struggling the past, just through the first half of the season. That's really impressive to beat a hitting team like Tech back to back. Yeah, Nate mentioned we were kind of on the edge of our seat the entire Sunday game just because it was a back and forth game, but that was what TCU pitching should be like on the weekend, I feel. Like that's kind of what we expected coming into this season.
Yeah, no, I think overall as a weekend, it was a really good showing from the Frogs in every department, even the pitching department, regardless of Friday's result. When you're holding a team who in their last three games scored 40 runs in Tech, and you hold them to 11 total on the weekend, or 12 total, sorry, 12 total on the weekend, that's a really good sign. We
Yeah.
knew the pitching has been there. We had some questions about some bullpen pieces and maybe a Sunday starter, but overall, I mean, the offense still struggles, but when you're pitching as well as you can and you're scoring more than 1-2 runs a game, you get the wins. And that's kind of what we've been asking for. Let's jump into it. Game one. TCU lost 7-1. Fourth inning nightmare yet again for Peyton Tolley. Which, I mean, wasn't really his fault. That's baseball. You can't stop a hitting team all weekend. We saw some players return to the lineup, right? Peyton Chatagnier, he returned. Brody Green returned. I mean, it was a loss. Carson, when TCU lost that first game Friday night, how were you feeling about the rest of the weekend series?
I was not feeling great because Tech had kind of displayed their power with Pompey going yard late in the game. And I mean, it was back to the bullpen issues. Zach Morris and Andrew Mosiello both give up 2 runs. That's kind of what sealed the deal. While Peyton Tolley gave up 3, TCU obviously is known for those late game comebacks. And I feel like you don't give up those runs late in the game, you probably have a shot at least in the ninth inning.
Yeah, Nate, but we kind of saw the offense struggle. Were you still feeling skeptical on the weekend as a whole, or did you still think they had it in them to turn it around?
I was definitely feeling skeptical. I was even saying that I wasn't going to go to Saturday's game. It turns out I went, and then that made me want to go to Sunday. So yeah, I was skeptical for sure, and it was not a good sign for me on Friday when we were down by that much. But I feel like they did enough to get by, and I feel like there was pieces that made me want to go to that next game. Like the pitching looked okay, and I felt like the hitting would come. So I think that's kind of my thoughts on that.
Can we all agree that Friday's lineup was kind of the ideal lineup that we had talked about last episode or last Monday's episode of what we kind of been wanting to see
Oh yeah.
from all
Yeah.
of them? Yeah, I think
100%.
it was nice to see, and I think that's kind of what sparked a little bit of discourse going in the rest of the weekend, right? We finally saw the lineup that we've been asking to see, and then the offense still doesn't produce. And then I mean it happens, right? Like it's baseball. Sometimes you're gonna have bad games. And TCU was able to turn it around the rest of the weekend and score. There is one thing I want to talk about for this game before we kind of move on is bottom of the sixth inning, Sam Myers, leadoff double. And next pitch, he steals third. At this point, it's a 4-1 ball game, right? What are we doing there?
I tweeted about it. I don't think there's whether it's just a freshman making a mistake or it's a base coach trying to be aggressive. There's no reason to take that base. Okay. You've got a runner on second, no outs. And while Logan Maxwell did strike out on the following pitch, you still have one of your better hitters hitting for contact at the plate. I don't feel like there's any reason to try and press the issue.
Yeah, Nate?
Well, yeah, I have no idea what we're doing on the base path. Evan Skalik basically got benched himself as the base coach. So I don't know what was going on there, but it didn't seem to turn around anywhere down the line. We'll talk about that later, but I really think it's just inexperienced young players along with inexperienced coaching. I'm not talking about anybody but the base coaches. And I feel like it's something that's going to need to change if we want to continue to make this run.
I mean, we might as well just kind of like talk about it right now since we're on the topic. So yesterday's game, Ryder Robinson gets caught. He gets walked. First base coach, or maybe Ryder, sends him to second. I love that. I love the aggressive base running. But Ryder didn't commit to it, and I think he stopped early. I think if he gets down, I think he's safe. And that I'm okay with aggressive base running. If it works, say like 40% of the time,
you're a genius.
I mean, yeah, you look really, really smart. So I'm okay with them being aggressive.
I mean, I don't have a problem with it, them being aggressive like that. But when you're this close of a game and a game that really matters, when the Horned Frogs are struggling like this, run counts. And that could have been another run tagged on. I mean, we had one of our better hitters coming up, and what do? We get thrown out. So I don't mind that when it comes down to the stretch when we need like a miracle to happen. But like, it felt like he was just lost and he wasn't paying attention to my opinion.
Well, okay, so Robinson gets walked, but then it was Chatagnier at the plate. Do you really think that he's going to do the job? Right, as he's hitting right now, do you think that he's going to do the job?
You give him a chance. I mean, that's what I wanted to talk about. That's what I wanted to talk about. And if we're already talking about it, let's go ahead and talk about it, because I wanted to talk about it for game three.
Okay.
Is that more you're trying to steal a run, or is that the coaching staff saying, hey, we don't trust Pate Chatagnier? Which one is it more
no,
of?
That's you trying to steal a run. That's
because
no.
Why be that aggressive in that situation with runners on the corner and Pate Chatagnier coming up to bat? Like, to me, it felt like an indictment of, because like when he walked, my initial thought was maybe they pinch hit for Pate Chatagnier. Like, let me see Jack Basir get in. At least let me see something. And then when they try that, I was like, are they trying to say maybe they don't trust him as much? Like, I know, like, it's not even an indictment on Pate Chatagnier as a player. He hasn't played in 2 weeks and he's coming back off injury. He hasn't been seeing the ball well. Like, hey, let's try something else, right?
I don't know if you can call it an indictment on his play. I genuinely believe that's just aggressive base running gone wrong. I don't think there's any like end all be all from that play, you know?
I think it's just two different situations though, right? Like, had Friday still happened and TCU was winning 4-3 like they were on Sunday when that Ryder Robinson decision happened, I think you're looking at two different situations. But when you're down 4-1, the offense has been struggling, and then you try and steal third, that's what kind of stings a little bit. If you had been up 4-3, Heat, leadoff double, let's steal third, hey, I'm all for it. You know what? He got thrown out.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, we were doing aggressive base running all this weekend. I mean, the suicide bunt that was successful, it's impressive. But I feel like this was them. I agree with you, JD. I feel like it was them saying, I don't know about Chatagnier. We need more runs. Here we go.
Yeah. I don't know. Let's not dwell on it too much. We still got two more games to talk about as a whole. Anything you guys... Okay, let me say something before I move on. Brody Green returned to the lineup. He got hurt. He's going to be out for an extended period of time per Coach Sarlos. That's all I want to talk about. That's all I will say about it, and I'm moving on. Anything you guys want to talk about for game one?
No, I'm not going to add insult to injury.
Please don't. No, I'm a wounded man.
I'm good.
No, I mean, I'm worried about our hamstrings, not going to lie. Or our legs. Logan Maxwell is struggling too, and you can tell that he got that triple hit that could have been a in the park homer.
Yeah, which we'll talk about Sunday when we talk about Sunday's game because he didn't return the lineup. Game two, TCU won 4-2. They at least even the series, right? TCU played their brand of baseball that we're used to seeing and accustomed to seeing and won the game. Louis had kind of got knocked around early, had a high pitch count, got taken out. We saw Ben Abelt come in. Three innings pitch looked amazing. Cole Klecker is the closer now. Let's talk about that, Nate. Cole Klecker the closer. What are we thinking?
I love it. I think he's a great closer, and I think it took a lot of stress off of him to get through those long innings, because Cole Klecker always does good for 1 to 2 innings. It's when he gets tired and goes that fifth, sixth inning when he starts giving out that deep ball. And I think that Cole Klecker will continue to evolve into this role because he has a nasty slider along with a decent fastball that throws teams off. And, I mean, he's got that mentality of winning too. He knows what to do. He knows how to get ahead in the count. And I really like him in this position. If he can continue to maximize throwing strikes with his fastball and continue to get people to bite on that slider, he's going to be dangerous.
Yeah, Carson, pitching staff showed up, but they were spot on all day. Even giving up 2 runs, I don't really care what happens, how you give up those 2 runs, right? Giving up 2 runs to a lethal offense like that, it's impressive. Which one of those starts or which one of those players impressed you the most? Klecker coming in to close it, Abelt's 3 innings, or Louis starting?
I think it's Abelt. I feel like that's like, I mean, again, that's kind of, that's the Abelt that we expected to see at the very beginning of the season. You know, the guy that can come in and then the entire morale of the other team just goes down just because he's on the mound. Like that's how good he is. By the way, 8th inning stare down was hard. That was awesome.
I texted you guys because I was watching it, right, on my phone, and I saw it, and I was
that
like,
That was sick.
Did that just happen?
No, but yeah. That,
he had like, a few words with it, too. I don't know what he said, but he had a few words with it.
I couldn't tell if he was saying something, but I saw the stare down, and I was like, oh, this is the corner turning right here.
He definitely mouthed something. I don't know what he said, but either way.
I thought he was getting ejected because the ump looked straight at him.
No, but yeah, he was really I can't talk. He was really impressive. And then Klecker, I'll go ahead and touch on him real quick since he was kind of like the star of the relief, just because it was very uncharacteristic to see him out there. He did really, really good. And Sarlos mentioned in the post game, he was like, yeah, we were just trying to get him some confidence back, essentially. And that was, I mean, hopefully that did the job. I wouldn't mind seeing him in relief more, just because I think he's more effective that way.
Yeah. Pitching staff as a whole this weekend is really good, and we'll talk about it more on Sunday too. But a number I want to point out is we talked about TCU striking out a little much and how Tech doesn't strike out. I don't know if you guys seen the numbers. Tech players struck out 37 times and TCU players only struck out 16. Almost a 2.5 times per, you know, difference between the two teams. And you kind of see what happens, right? Like TCU pitchers are going to strike you out. They're not going to really, if someone's making contact, it's more than likely a hit. And TCU was limiting their making their at-bats better. And we saw a lot of that small ball. We saw the 8th inning suicide squeeze from Peyton Schatt that scored Silva, which is good to see. Like that's what we come to expect. We know we're not Texas Tech. We know we're not going to hit over 50 team home runs on the season. And I'm okay with that. But you got to commit to the small ball bit. And it feels like once they did, and we saw it Saturday, Sunday, everything kind of changed, right?
Well, I mean, I talked about this 2 weeks ago. Like, TCU does not have a guy that can go hit a bomb every other at bat. Like, don't get me wrong. Luke Boyers, moonshot. He's going to run into one every few games just because he is a heavy pull hitter and he has the power. But TCU has to stick to the small ball approach. That's where, like, you suffocate teams that way. When they just move runners, like, they become so dangerous.
Yeah, I mean, TCU has 2017 home runs on the season, which is better than I expected looking at the number, but a lot of those came from, like, the first 3 weeks of the season, right? Had a, like, Carson Bowen had a solo home run Friday night. Curtis Byrne, did he have one Saturday?
No.
I thought he did.
He had, like, a double. Yeah, let me see. Yeah.
Oh, I think, was he the one that almost had one? Same with Luke Boyers?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think it was both of them. That's what I was thinking of. They both hit one that went right to the track.
Yeah.
Which we saw a lot of that Friday too from TCU. Chatagnier hit one deep center. There were a lot of times that TCU was, if they're not playing at TCU, I think those get out because of the stiff wind. But I think this weekend, you know, we saw Saturday, the guys are putting up better at bats. It looked better.
Yeah.
Game three. Frogs won 4-3. Mason Bixby, hello, how you doing? Welcome to the team. Touching 100 on the gun. Ben Hampton, great out of the pen. Zach Coyer was good out of the pen till he wasn't in the ninth inning, which, hey, you know what? He's going to give it up at some point. Caden Parker, yeah, that's a stud showing right there you need in that bottom of the ninth. And then there was the Luke Boyer show on offense. Three-run home run in the first inning. Putting up solid at-bats pretty much every single time. Fisher Ingersoll, hey, DH spot, you looked good in there. I kind of like it. Carson, you were big on Mason Bixby. Why don't you tell us about him right now?
I mean, it's gas. So I'm sitting there, first base side. I'm sitting next to Nate and his dad, and I show the tweet by Jamie Plunkett. Shout out Jamie, you're awesome. I show the tweet that Bixby had hit 100 multiple times, and I turn to Nate and I'm like, "There's no way this is true." No, turns out I go on social media later. Yeah, he hit it like 5 or 6 times. The gun at Lupton is slow by like 2 or 3 miles an hour. So that's, I mean, his velo is just extremely, extremely good.
He just makes it look so effortless too.
It is effort. Mm-hmm. It's effortless gas. I do think that he needs to kind of, I guess, limit the mistakes a little bit as far as like location stuff, because when you have that kind of velo, you can, like Sarlo said, you can put your foot on people's necks pretty quick. And that's kind of what those, you know, those star pitchers in the SEC, ACC, that's what they do.
Yeah, it's what makes, you know, pitchers that throw gas like that a little bit more susceptible to mistakes, because you can get away with a little bit more, right? You can get away with a fastball you leave down right down the middle about belt high because you're throwing 100, while someone like Klecker is going to get shelled if they leave it there. And it just makes it a little bit different. Nate, Caden Parker, you've been big on him. Your guy came in, runners on first and second, shuts it down. You know, how nervous were you starting that?
The second he came out of the pen, second I heard his walk-up song, I was like, okay, we got this. And I knew that we had two guys on. They had two guys on. But I had faith in him. I mean, his velocity, I was, if the gun is off, he was throwing anywhere from 97 to 98. So he's got good velo too. So, and I feel like his arm's finally starting to settle in. He was coming off of Tommy John. So I feel like he's just going to continue to get better, and I think we're going to continue to use him as his arm continues to strengthen. So he's a name to watch for as another closing option alongside Klecker. I feel like they're both good options.
Yeah, I mean, we even saw Ben Hampton come in, 2 innings pitch, 2 strikeouts, gave up 2 hits, no walks. He looked good out the pen. That's a solid option for the Frogs. Zach Coyer, 2.2 innings pitch, 3 hits, 2 walks, 1 strikeout. Like, I know we've talked about Zach Coyer as, let's not in a bad way, but we just wanted to see more options, but he looked really good. He looked really good on Sunday. When Zach Coyer has his control and has his curveball, he's disgusting. He lights up the zone.
Hey, Nate, you got anything you want to say about Zach Coyer?
I think he proved that he can pitch a few innings. I think when his time's up, though, okay. I don't think he can go past two innings. However, okay. I feel like it's when he's accurate. He's always been accurate. He throws it right down the center every time. But when he can place the ball, that's when he's dangerous.
You don't feel like you owe him an apology or anything, or.
I need another appearance, but I need another appearance from him. The past few had not been great, and he still put on two guys and almost gave this game up.
I'll put a pin in what you said Sunday. I won't say it right now, but I'll put a pin in.
Hey, this sounds like next Monday we might be circling the wagons on that one real quick. Yeah.
We'll definitely circle it.
So, I mean, Frogs are good, right? Luke Boyer's absolute bomb for Lupton standards in the first inning, which is good to see, right? TCU needed to get out early and get on the board. You got to strike some fear in them, especially when you got a guy on the mound throwing 100. Like, that's hard to come back from. I think Mason Bixby, and I want to talk on him real quick, is what he's done this year is great, right? But I'm so excited for him to have a full offseason learning how to control some off-speed pitches and develop some. He could be the integral part of this future teams to come for this program.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Anything you guys want to talk about on the weekend? Oh, before we go to questions, I do want to mention something, and I just thought about it. Every single game, TCU hit a tech pitcher. Like, with a line drive or something, they hit a tech pitcher every single day. And I was like,
I'm pretty sure we did that in a few of our other, like, wins in the beginning of the season, too.
Yeah. So if TCU hits a pitcher, opposing pitcher, then go ahead and slam the odds. Yeah.
Yeah. It's game over.
Yeah. It's like a 7-0 skunk. It's automatic.
Yeah.
all right. Let's move on to some questions. TCU won a series. They're back on track slightly. We said that after Houston, too, so I will say it with some regards. Carson, how do you feel about the rest of the season now?
Optimistic. I don't feel, like, overexcited, really. But there are tools on this team that, like, that are vaguely similar to last year's team as far as the pitching goes.
Okay, Nate.
Yeah, I'm optimistic of what this can become. I feel like we're more prepared for Texas now. So I'm excited. And I feel like we can start hanging with people if we can figure out our pitching rotation. And if we can get our hitters somewhat healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I
think my word would be cautious, right?
Yes.
Like, my hopes are up right now. And then you go to Austin. And you win a series against what people will see, be like, oh, they beat Texas in a series or swept Texas, which is a down Texas team. I got to be cautious. I can't fall for the trap that Cincinnati it happened to lure us into. But I don't know. I feel good. Like,
I mean,
you saw them win the way they should.
Well, TCU historically plays pretty well in Austin.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's something to look at as well. Also, TCU, whenever they travel, like, out of state, that's a completely different baseball team.
Unless it's Arkansas.
In state, well, yeah, unless it's Arkansas. but yeah, in state, they've played really, really well. So I'm curious to see if we're going to see the away team that's, you know, that has shown themselves going out of state, or if we're going to see the same amped up TCU team as we saw this past weekend.
Yeah, I think it's just like, it's cautious play, right? Because next week you got Texas Tech, or you got Texas. You just beat Texas Tech in a weekend series. You got Texas at Texas. That Tuesday you have DBU. You're playing at home. A top 10 ranked team, you're going to be playing at home. We've already beat them once, right? That's a good RPI booster.
That game is massive.
Yeah. And then the weekend after that, you have Kansas State. Like, you got, or not Kansas State. Is that the West Virginia series here? It's one of them.
West Virginia's here.
Okay, then
I think both of them are here.
It's Texas. It's Kansas State. It's Kansas State. Because I won't be here for that series.
We played both these teams, both those teams away.
You get to see JJ Weatherholt this year. We'll talk about that when we get to the preview. But yeah, I think it's just like I got to be cautious. I can't let myself get too excited for what's about to happen. Right. Next question. Nate, TCU won two games this weekend, but are we still worried about the offense? Not saying you feel the same way you felt going into the Tech series with how down they played, but are you still worried about them in general?
No, I'm not really worried about them. I feel like we saw a lineup that was very poised, and they were jumping early on the right pitches, and I really like that. Luke Boyers took a few in for base hits, and then that home run, that was very impressive, and I think he's going to continue to boost this lineup. And once Logan Maxwell gets healthy, I think we'll be in great shape. I would love to see Ingersoll stay in that position of DH. I think he is has a good hand-eye coordination, and I think he's going to take counts deep. And we saw that he hits the ball hard. So I think we have the perfect lineup, and I think our offense is going to continue to mold together now.
Almost perfect. Some people are out with injury. Carson, still worried about the offense? How you feeling?
Yes, I am. And it's funny that you mentioned injury, because that's kind of what I'm going to address here. So Logan Maxwell out, Brody Green out, Chatagnier coming back from injury, still kind of, yeah, I'm assuming, getting to 100%. But also, because of the middle of the lineup, Anthony Silva, Curtis Byrne, and just whoever's in that 6-5 spot have been very, very quiet the past few weeks, I'll be honest. And I think Anthony Silva probably worries me the most, because he's become
a non-factor.
Right. I mean, it's very weird to see that kind of drop off from a freshman year to a sophomore year in college baseball. College baseball, you don't normally see that kind of drop off. Which, I mean, his swing doesn't look slower. It seems like it's just something with mechanics, and I firmly believe that's what it is. But if they don't get that fixed, then this TCU team will not go anywhere. If they do get it fixed, sky's the limit, I feel.
I'm agreeing with both of you. And this isn't even to play devil's advocate.
Boo.
Yeah, this isn't even to play devil's advocate.
He took the easy road.
Both of you took words exactly out of my mouth. I do think that the offense had a way better weekend, right? Striking out less, better at bats, taking counts deep. If they got a good pitch first, they were swinging at it. And I'm okay if you swing at a first pitch fastball that's belt high and you ground out or you fly out. Hey, you know what? That's baseball. You're not always going to hit it perfect. You have a 300 batting average, you're great in the MLB. 400 in college. Like, I think that they're showing improvement on being able to stay consistent. And we were able to see a consistent lineup this weekend, which we haven't really seen in a while. But Anthony Silva does scare me. We've seen a lot of people get shuffled around in the lineup except him. He's solidified at that 5 spot pretty much. He's gone from 3 to 5, but he's staying in that middle range. Like, maybe we need to swap him out to like the 8. You know, give him something. Like, his swing's there. He's making contact. He's not striking out. Sometimes he's getting, you know, the way baseball goes and a line drive's getting caught or whatever. So he's putting quality at bats together, but his average is below 280.
I mean, it's mostly fly balls with him. That's why I think it's something mechanically wrong.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, he just scares me, because obviously you don't take him out of the lineup, right? You don't have that conversation at all. I want Anthony Silva in the lineup every day. Like, what he does defensively wise, veteran wise, and even not striking out, I want that. Keep that in the lineup, right? But we got to get him going. He gets going, this offense gets going, we're right back in the thick of everything. Like, you got weekend series that you can end strong with if the offense gets hot, that you're looking at a 2 seed in a regional, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Carson, I want to start this one with you. Mason Bixby a Sunday starter now?
I hope. I feel like the the odds that he gets shelled are very low. Like, sure, Texas Tech kind of got to him a little bit with a few key hits, but that's, I feel like you can't take that velo out of the starting role unless you use him as a closer, but I don't think he's that kind of pitcher. I would rather have Cademan Parker or Cole Klecker or Ben Abel be that guy.
Nate, Mason Bixby becomes a Sunday starter. What do you think?
I don't mind it. I do think he gave up. I want to see him develop a little more, especially off-speed pitches. That's when he started getting shelled a little bit. He was giving up quite a bit of hits. But he minimized the damage to only a run per inning. So, yeah. I mean, he did fine. And I think the more starts we give him, the better he's going to be. So I don't mind it, especially if we get ahead on the weekend. So if we get a win or two, sure, let's do it.
Yeah, call me crazy. I got a Sunday starter in mind. I want Ben Abelt on the mound. He got stretched out. He got stretched out in the offseason. He was already going through the offseason as if he was going to be a starter, right? We've seen him go more than three innings. But our Sunday starters are only giving us three innings to begin with. Why not start the game with them? Let your offense get a, you know, a comfortable lead. Bring in Mason Bixby. Doesn't have the pressure of starting. Gets to come in relief, right? You got Ben Hampton.
Did Abel start any games last year? I don't think he did.
But he was getting all offseason, he was getting stretched out so that way he could become a starter. Right. Like, that was the plan. And I like that plan a lot. Like you guys said, Cole Klecker's a closer now. Mason Bixby's touching 100. He could be a closer. Why not get Ben Abel to start? See what he can do.
Why not switch it up again?
Yeah. I mean, this Sunday spot's a rotation spot at this point anyways. Like, what's the worst that happens? You just bring in, you just shuffle the order, and now Ben Hampton comes in the third inning instead of the fourth? Oh, no. Like, I kind of like it. I think it's just...
It would be interesting for sure.
I don't know how he'd work there. I really don't.
I mean, we're only using him one day a weekend anyways, right? Why not make it a start?
Well, I mean, I think the dream scenario is that you use him. So obviously you're not going to use him in the Friday night game, unless it's like you're down by like one or two runs and your offense is like looks good. But I think the dream scenario with Abelt is that you use him on Friday and Sunday for any given series, and you stretch him out maybe like two and a half innings each. You know, I think that's the dream scenario. So I don't know if he'll ever get a start. It would definitely be fun to watch. That's for sure.
I mean, I'm spitballing here. Sorry, you know.
No, you're fine.
All right. Nate, who was your MVP of the weekend?
Luke Boyers.
Okay. Why? Luke Boyers, that's
no,
it.
No. I believe it's his sixth multi-hit game. I feel like Luke has continued to show that he's our guy for right field. I mean, he's a defensive gem. And he's, I mean, he made a stellar catch in the foul territory. And he continued to hit the ball really well. And he's hitting the ball hard. Even the ones that he didn't get on base, he was hitting it hard. He's seeing the ball well right now. And I'm really excited to see what he can do. Because he took it to, I mean, Tech's not the best pitching team, but they had some good pitchers out there. They were throwing some high velo, and he was taking it right to them.
Yeah, Carson, your MVP?
It's Ben Abel. I feel like to throw those innings against a really good hitting team, that's very difficult to do. And to completely shut them down, that's even better.
You just like to stare down.
Fine. Okay.
Before I announce my MVP, I do want to say we saw Hunter Hodges return. We did talk about that.
We did.
He's been out for over a month now, right? And he finally returned. Looked good in his outing, too. My MVP, Chase Brunson. 333 batting average on the weekend, only two strikeouts, one run. Still patrolling. He's played way better center field defense than he was at the beginning of the season, right? We're not seeing any errors. We're seeing him. We're basically watching him mature through our eyes. And the fact that he's been able to bat leadoff consistency, I really, really think what he did this weekend is, you know, we saw him take that step up a little bit. Let's talk around the Big 12 real quick. Let's go over the standings first. West Virginia and Oklahoma tied in first place at 11-4. Oklahoma State at 10-5. Texas, 9-6. Baylor is 8-7. Texas Tech is 9-9. Kansas State, Kansas, Cincinnati are 7-8. UCF is 8-10. TCU 7-11. BYU is 6-12. And Houston is 5-13. Any of those standings stand out to you real quick before I talk about the weekend results? Because there's a few that are surprising me.
There are two. Baylor, first of all.
Ain't play no one, Paul.
Still don't understand. I don't know. They went from submitting their roster on the Baylor baseball website like a week before the season started, to 8-7 in the Big 12 conference, which that's commendable, honestly. Also, UCF, what happened in West Virginia? What happened? Like, you guys had all the momentum in the world. What happened? I feel like There's no reason you should get swept. Don't get me wrong. Playing in West Virginia is tough. No matter what sport it is, no matter what time of the season, that's tough. But to get swept, I didn't see that coming.
Yeah. Nate, any of those shock you?
I mean, I feel like the Baylor being that good is very shocking because I thought they were going to be terrible starting out. But UCF getting swept is kind of shocking. But then I'll look back to last year on us. I mean, West Virginia did the same thing. And we were at – or was that 2 years ago? But they do the same things. They do it all the time. Their sports are always there, and they're always here to knock somebody off. So that's what they're looking to do.
Yeah. Baylor 1 doesn't shock me, if we're being honest here. They legit haven't played anyone. They played BYU, Cincinnati, Houston, Texas, and Tech.
Like, Cincinnati swept TCU.
And Baylor beat Cincinnati, but Baylor also beat Tech. So...
okay.
And then Baylor also got swept by Houston. So they're just a weird team, right? Like, they just also really haven't played anyone tough. Like, they haven't played West Virginia. They haven't played OU. They haven't played Oklahoma State, TCU, Kansas State, Kansas, or UCF. Like, UCF does shock me considering the start they got out to. But,
yeah.
It's baseball. What can you do? Let's talk about some weekend results. And TCU, 2 out of 3 from Tech. Texas, 2 out of 3 from Houston. Don't let that fool you. They needed ninth inning comebacks in both games to win. West Virginia, 2 out of 3 from UCF. Oklahoma State swept Cincinnati. Oklahoma swept Kansas State. And Baylor swept BYU. Which one shocks you the most, Nate?
I would say, that's a tough one. But I'm going to go Texas because I feel like they should have handled business. But it required some effort from the Longhorns there. And I think it's just a tell of their batting being pretty solid. But
they scored 8 runs in the 9th inning to win Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah. It's impressive.
Carson, they were down by 7. It scored 8.
Oh my God. In 1 inning.
In the top of the 9th. In the top of the 9th.
That is wow.
Yeah. They were losing 9-2, I believe is what it was.
So there's an asterisk on that series.
Oh, and
you're saying.
And Saturday night, they had to come down from 2 runs in the top of the night to win as well.
I saw the Saturday one. I saw that one.
Yeah, Sunday was way more impressive because it was a 7-run deficit.
I didn't know Kansas State was 7-8 in the Big 12. I thought they were better.
And just got swept by Oklahoma.
Well, that's kind of what I'm getting to. I didn't see them getting swept by Oklahoma. Like, I know Oklahoma's a really good hitting team, but I at least thought that Kansas State was going to make it competitive.
Yeah. West Virginia 1 shocks me. They are quietly the best team of the Big 12 right now.
Yeah.
And it's kind of not even close.
Has West Virginia and Oklahoma State played?
Not yet.
I believe that is this coming weekend.
That'll be a good series.
Let me just look at that real quick, because I know they do play each other. I just don't know when it is. West Virginia is quietly really, really good right now. And
yeah,
kind of don't like it because they always give TCU trouble.
I mean, Jay, when you have the potential number one overall pick come back from injury and then hit,
not even top five anymore.
I mean, he hit three bombs on the weekend, I think.
Yeah. West Virginia plays Tech this weekend, so they got that going.
Okay.
And then they get Baylor.
Okay.
So there's and then they get Cincinnati. Maybe they don't play each other. Am I crazy?
That's unfortunate if they don't.
Yeah, they don't play each other.
Man.
Has West Virginia played anyone? Because now I got some crap to talk. What is TCU's schedule this season?
Well, I know West Virginia played Oklahoma, and I think Oklahoma took that series. Oklahoma took the head-to-head.
West Virginia's played BYU, UCF, Kansas, Oklahoma, and they already played Oklahoma State. They lost.
Okay.
That was the weekend that J.J. Weatherholt got hurt. That's what it was.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
All right. TCU travels to Abilene Christian this Tuesday, plays them on the road. First midweek game in 2 weeks after last week's were canceled. Nate, midweek games, they're hard to talk about, right? We don't know who's going to start. We don't know who's going to be in the lineup. What do you want to see? Who do you want to see either get some chance in the lineup or on the field, or who do you want to see on the mound?
I want to see somebody different. I wouldn't even mind seeing somebody like Jax Traeger go out there and start.
Don't somebody steal my different choice.
somebody who hasn't seen much action. Let's see what they got. ACU is probably going to throw Rolando De La Cruz, and he held them down for Tech, and they made it a pretty close game, 9-4, back a couple weeks ago. So ACU is nothing to play around with. So, but I don't think we should throw our best arm. I don't think we should throw Ben Hampton out there. So let's use somebody different.
Yeah, Carson, what do you want to see out of the midweek game?
Sorry, I'm looking at ACU's record real quick. 21-15. Yeah, they're definitely better than last year. That's for sure.
Yeah,
that was hard to watch. I want Braden Sloan on the mound, and I would like to see him get extended. But I would imagine we just see another bullpen game, and I'm okay with it. As for the lineup, flip the entire thing. Flip the entire thing. Take out guys that start normally. Just give me 9 guys that don't get at bats. Just because I want to see if there's like something. I want to see if there's a diamond in the rough that we're missing somewhere.
See, but isn't that a catch 21, right? Like, someone has a big first game, right? Baseball's a game of series, not one game. Like, true. It's so hard to see. And you can't even say, like, well, then you got to ride the hot hand. Like, they don't play again until Friday.
I mean, still, ACU has, like, good pitching.
Yeah, they got dudes.
They got dudes, and they're probably going to throw them against TCU.
You just want to see if someone can hit velocity.
Fine. I do. I want to see if we can hit velocity, because I'm still not sure.
Yeah, that scares me. I want to see Chase Hoover get in.
I would imagine he will.
When's the last time we saw Hoover? Like 2 weeks ago?
Quite a while ago.
Week and a half ago, I think.
Yeah.
I want to see Dallin Leach get back out there.
That's what I want. That's what I want. Yes.
The man has a lot of power.
He's one for one.
Yeah.
He's batting 1,000. He's the best hitter on the team right now.
And for Barry, I want to see Zach Wattis get out there.
That's what I'm saying. Flip the entire lineup. Let's just see a bunch of other guys.
Heck, why not? Start Cole Taylor.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, what Nate said.
All right.
If you're listening, do it, Sarlis. Do it.
Except Anthony Silva. Keep him in. I want Anthony Silva still in the lineup.
Yeah, I think that's the only one that sticks.
And Luke Boyers, because he's hot right now, and I want him to ride that hot streak. That's it. Everyone else is back.
You want to see?
I wouldn't mind seeing Fisher Ingersoll. Ingersoll should stay too.
Keep getting reps. Dude, Boyers has such a pretty swing.
that I am. Hoyer's bombs are so good.
It does.
They're pretty.
They're good.
It's yeah. All right. Anything else you guys want to talk about before we close this thing out?
I don't think so.
I'm good. Nothing nope. here.
Wednesday night. I meant to talk to you guys about this before. Wednesday night is our plan for the preview because Brett is supposed to finally be joining us. Brett is supposed to be here. It's no tech to talk about, but we're still going to talk crap to him about it. And he'll be here for the Texas preview, which there's a lot to talk about with Texas. So, yeah. All right. Thank you guys for joining us. We will see you on Wednesday. Yeah, that'll do it.